This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
My husband Bob and I went to our grandson's school leavers assembly recently. It's in Bernadette's Roman Catholic School in Wallsend. And I was really taken with one song, which had actually been chosen by the teachers as a special godly theme to inspire the children to keep faith and to entrust their life's journey to God by following him, rather like travelling on a river flowing to the sea. It was a song by Emily Sandé called River, and it began like this. If you're looking for the big adventure, and gold is all that's on your mind, if all you want is someone to take your picture, then I won't waste your time. See, maybe I'm too quiet for you. You probably never noticed me. But if you're too big to follow rivers, how are you ever going to find the seas? So follow me. I'll be your river. River. There's a story in our gospel today about someone who has no time to follow God. He's become too big to follow the river down to the seas. He's far too busy figuring out how he can improve his lot in life, seeing to his own individual needs rather than the needs of those around him. The song goes on to say, if you're looking for the right direction, then my darling, look for me. Here is River, a beautiful song by Emily Sandé.
If you're looking for the big adventure, and gold is all that's on your mind, if all you want someone to take your picture, then I won't waste your time. See, maybe I'm too quiet for you. You probably never noticed me. But if you're too big to follow rivers, how you ever gonna find the sea? So follow me. I'll be a river, river. I'll do the running for you. Follow me. I'll be a river, river. I'll move the mountains for you.
Our next song was inspired by a Salvador Dali painting entitled St. John of the Cross, and it was written by a friend of mine called Margaret Scott, who lives in Whitley Bay. In it, Jesus looks down upon the world as he hangs upon the cross, and we see the world from his perspective. And from this cross, he looks down through the centuries at all the pain we've caused each other. It's called What of You?
What of you? And you look with love, and you look with loving tears. And when I think of all the pain we've caused each other through those years, I wonder how you still could see it through. call us back to you. And at your cross we find the grace to start again, to care, to try again, to love each other as you do. When you prayed, Father, forgive them, were you thinking of us too? Of the countless times that we would break your heart. What of you? You see us as your children, and you know our need, and you will us to choose life and turn to you. For with the past forgiven and the future by your side, we can look again and see the world anew. For you made us for each other, and you free us all to love. And through you we can see the goodness that's still
Such lovely words there in that song. You see us with our callous ways and muddled thoughts, it says. Yet you love us and you call us back to you. And at the cross we find the grace to start again to care, to try again to love each other as you do. We see in Christ's sacrifice the supreme example of love and its power. Jesus warns his followers against selfishness and greed in our parable today, from Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This next song by Graham Kendrick is called "Come and See." It's an echo of our previous song, "Jesus takes the punishment for our sins by dying on the cross, yet we are the ones who deserve the punishment." Doesn't seem just or fair, does it? It's called "Come and See."
Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer, as he lifts the cruel cross. Lone and friendless now, he climbs towards the hill. We worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet. The world is washed by love's pure stream. For us he was made sin, oh help me take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, "Father, forgive."
talk about justice and fairness? When my sister and I were young and we were given something which had to be shared between us equally, such as a biscuit or small bar of chocolate, one of us would be invited to cut it in half, and the other was given first choice. It was absolutely fair, because the one who did the cutting had to be very accurate, for they stood to lose out the most. But as we've heard in our reading today, not all is fair. Jesus had been asked to intervene in a family dispute about inheritance, but he simply refused to get involved. A younger brother was consumed with rage and was demanding justice because his older brother had kept all their father's inheritance to himself. Yet it was his by right as the older child, but he had shown his brother no consideration whatsoever. Jesus turned to the crowd and he told the people, "Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Here the advantaged and disadvantaged were at loggerheads. The brothers, understandably so. Such unfair distribution does inevitably sow the seeds of strife. What a shame the older brother hadn't been moved to share his inheritance, divide it in half even, and give his brother first choice, just like my sister and I were required to do. It certainly would have solved their dispute. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "This earth provides enough to satisfy every man's needs, but not every man's greed." There's so much that's not fair or just in our world today. Do we in the West ever really stop to reflect upon the trouble and pain in our world, which has been brought about through unfairness and injustice over the years? Here's a song we may remember from our school assembly days. The last verse challenges us to fight against the dragons of anger and the ogres of greed. It's sung by Libra and it's called "When a Knight Won His Spurs."
When a knight won his spurs in the stories of old, he was gentle.
Just struck me how powerful those words are. Here we have a knight going out throughout the land with the sole purpose of doing good to others. For God and for valour he rides through the land, forever looking outwards towards others to assist them in their troubles. So what did Jesus mean by the words, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed"? Is there not just one? We may not think of ourselves as greedy, but are we guilty of hoarding, of overspending, of expecting the best of what life can offer, as ours by right, like that elder brother in the story? How many other different kinds of greed are there? Well, I suppose lust, envy, laziness, pride and gluttony are forms of greed too. And do we thirst for scandal? Indulge in gossip? Do we feast on the private lives of celebrities and gorge ourselves on their every move so we can simply model ourselves on all they do? All these kinds of greed can distort reality and our priorities and lead us away from God. Our next song is all about the quest for money and the need to be part of a rich man's world. Money, 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 sing ABBA. But is this really what life is all about?
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too
Jesus' parable in our reading today sowed and harvested his crop, and he stored his grain, building bigger and bigger barns in the process. Now the sun and the rain were God's free gift to him. He didn't create the seed or cause it to multiply abundantly. It was God who gave him this abundance. But did he really believe all this was just for his benefit alone? Well, of course he did. But he wasn't wicked. He was just totally self-absorbed. He never considered giving any of his wealth away to the less fortunate, or giving anyone employment so they could feed and sustain their families, or even splitting his wealth and sending it to where it was needed most in the world. No, he amassed great wealth and sat back and relaxed, hoping to enjoy his life. It was all his, or so he thought. But just think what he could have done with all that wealth. He could have done so much more. Are we not able to do so much more too? Here's a local folk singer, John Wrightson, with a wonderful song called With a Little Bit More.
With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, we could have fed them all. With a little bit more, we could have made it all worthwhile. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. With a little bit more, we could have saved more lives. With a little bit more, so many could survive. With a little bit more, we could have turned things upside down. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. Countries of the world, don't turn your heads away. You have to face reality, no time for more delay. You read it in the papers, we hear it on the news. Suffering and the anguish they go through. With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, we could have fed them all. With a little bit more, we could have made it all worthwhile. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. With a little bit more, we could have saved more lives. With a little bit more, so many could survive. With a little bit more, we could have done. Upside down with a little bit more. With a little bit more. On the plains of Africa, they drop in dead like flies. While politicians ponder over money they rely. Conference after conference, meetings and debate. Until they make their minds up, they must wait. With a little bit more, we could have changed the world.
In a book called The Liberty of Man, Woman and Child, a man called Robert Ingersoll wrote these words: I do not see how it is possible for a man to die worth $50 million of dollars or $10 million of dollars in a city full of want, when he meets almost every day the withered hand of beggary and the white lips of famine. Surely our poor deserve better. According to the latest Oxfam report, the 26 richest billionaires in our world own as many assets as the 3.8 billion people who make up the poorest half of the planet's population. That is so wrong. An increasing number of ordinary people in our world are living in abject poverty, having a struggle to make ends meet every day, trying to survive and find food for their families. Real poverty can be found in every single country today, and the gap between rich and poor grows wider and wider. God is the God of justice, and he will be our judge one day. You know, we cannot take our wealth with us when we die. The man who built bigger barns in the story Jesus told would soon discover that. It wouldn't benefit him where he was going. Scripture says it comes to all people to die once, and thereafter judgment. An ambitious youth was once having a conversation with an older man who knew a lot about life and was asking what he intended to do with his. I will learn a trade, said the young man. And then, said the older man, well, I'll set up in business. And then, well, I'll make my fortune. And then, well, I suppose I shall grow old and retire and live on my money. And then, said the older man once more, well, I suppose that someday I will die. And then came the last stabbing question. How might we be judged? Jesus shared with his followers the best road forward, his way, compassion, kindness, generosity, all the kinds of qualities that don't cost a penny. In this business world, this is called social capital, and it doesn't cost any money at all. Without it we fall, and with it we absolutely soar. Jesus called us to be gracious givers, and he demonstrated that he was a gracious giver, as it says in Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So how rich are we towards God, and how rich are we towards our neighbour? I'm afraid that's all we've got time for this week. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick, my technical advisor and assistant. Say goodbye, Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
And goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill. Here's a beautiful blessing to finish with by Northumbria Community, and it's called My Prayer for You. Bye for now.
May the Father of life pour out his grace on you. May you feel his hand in everything you do, and be strengthened by the things he brings you through. This is my prayer for you. May the Son of God be Lord in all your ways. May he shepherd you the length of all your days, and in your heart may he receive the praise. This is my prayer for you. And despite how simple it may sound, I pray his grace will abound and motivate everything you do, and may the fullness of his life be shed through you. May his Spirit comfort you, make you strong. May he discipline you gently when you're wrong. And in your heart, may he give you his song. This is my